When public art is mentioned, the first thing that usually comes to mind is murals. Murals and the artists that design and create them have huge and present impacts on the communities they serve. While those impacts are overwhelmingly seen as positive, they can occasionally be controversial. Today we sit down to discuss the ebbs and flows of public art. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like always, we have an incredibly special guest in studio. I am joined by who I think is one of Tallahassee and this area's most preeminent artists, and especially muralist, the one and only Michael Crown. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Man, this is a real treat to have you on because the conversation that we're going to have today is going to spool and hit on everything from public art to murals. And I think that you are just such a great person to carry this conversation and have this conversation with. And so let's dive right in.
Let's get into it.
When we talk about public art, you know, the conversation of public art is in the forefront of the art and culture community because every city, every community, every business is looking for that spark, that next thing. And they usually turn to muralists.
Yes.
There's some positives and some negatives, of course, which I'm sure we'll go through. Let's talk a little bit about it. What do you think the impact? Well, maybe let me ask that question again. What do you think is responsible for this newfound impact of public art?
I hate to solely give credit to social media, but I believe that with the rise of social media and the multiple options for visual engagement, I think that, you know, things like art, food, travel, the things that give people the vibes. I think what it is when those systems elevate, it brings up everything else along with it. And it's just something about when you go on a social media platform and you're hit with a really vivid, crispy image of food, of, maybe a destination or even a location that has like, okay, I know that location. I know it had a very dull look. You guys put what there? And the art looks amazing with it there. So it complements. So it brings everything full circle. So I think I will definitely give it partial credit, social media. But then on the other end, I think in the times that we're in, a lot of people want extra communication that's not always words. So I believe that even if it's something that doesn't have words, you know, the colors, the arrangements, things of that, people like things that can speak to them without it being said.
So, man, first of all, what a beautiful way to phrase that, that art is a form of communication.
Yes.
And the thing that we're seeing is people picking up a receiver and wanting to be talked to in some way that might not be a direct language, but it is a language. And so as a skilled tactician of this language, are you speaking to people when you work? Is there something that you're trying to convey, that you're trying to give, or is it however they receive it? Or is it a bit of both?
I would say it's definitely a bit of both. And one point, I'm a technical person. I'm an engineer kind of person. Then I'm an artist. But I interchange hats numerous times. And I think that when I'm executing the art, I'm more technical because I want it to be executed a certain kind of way. But if it's something where I want it to connect to people, that's pretty much in the inception of it. If I want to create a certain kind of aura and I want to pull something from you, I go very, very deep with research and overall, I think I put a lot of energy.
It's in the DNA.
It's in the DNA.
Before it's born.
In the cells, before it's born, in the unattractive notes, I like to go in and create that first so it has a strong foundation. Because then when I execute it, it's not about being art. It's about the application. So once I reach application and I wipe my hands clean, clean the site, and I walk away from that site, pretty much at that point, it's whatever someone looks at it, I can trust that 10 people are going to look at it and they're going to get something completely different amongst those 10.
You have murals, and I'm not just trying to reduce your work to just the murals, but that's one of my big interests here. You have murals all over this city. As I said in the introduction, you are one of our preeminent muralists. You talked about process or creation mm-hmm. in your last answer.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process of being a muralist?
I would say to not give away complete ingredients of my sauce.
Sure, sure.
So I would say there's multiple application methods that very much depend on the surface, the location itself.
Mm-hmm.
So basing it off of that is how I'm going to go and I'm going to execute how I'm going to apply this. So process-wise, in the very beginning, I'm more of a historian librarian on the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I get as much information because for whom I'm painting for, I don't know them. So I, in a way, have to get in their mind and get a sense of who they are and what they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Once I've gotten all that information, I get creative. I have crazy mood boards for almost every piece that I've ever done before. Even if it's stuff that I'm not even going to think about using. I would say being self-taught and then having some formal education under my belt, one of the things that I can pull from art school is, you know, mind mapping. You know, you got to go through the process of getting all the bad ideas out first to get to the real meat and bones of what you're going to get into. And I think too many times do artists tend to go with the first idea that pops in their head, and they don't go through the proper channels of, well, yeah, this might look good, but then how is it going to go in the process of executing it? Because what I might want to do
mm-hmm.
might create some extra problems down the line that I may not be able to execute it in the same quality as such. So I think that throughout the years of immense trial and error, I've developed a type of milestone system for myself. I'm able to create a step process where I'm not biting off more than I can chew. And I've done that for myself to the point to where I truly believe I got it down to a science now, where I can assess and I can pick up on something really quick and I can tell you, yeah, that'll take this long. It'll need this amount of materials and so forth. But I would definitely say it took a great amount of years of sacrifice to really, really learn it to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what it is.
So you've talked about, and very introspectively and beautifully, by the way, how you do it. You've also talked about how it relates to the people that you're doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the third leg of that component,
sure.
The people that will see it, the community
sure.
that benefits from it. What has your experience been like in either the reception of your work, how it's impacted communities, what people say about it, how it makes them feel, how mm-hmm. it makes you feel after they say it? What has that been like for you?
So I'm going to give you a little minor trauma dump. I would say in my upbringing as an artist, I did not get proper praise mm-hmm. for my upbringing because I had such a raw, I didn't have skill. I didn't even really have talent. I had something, but it was so concentrated, but it had no direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very much misunderstood growing up. I was very much deterred in certain instances. So when you become a recluse, you tend to work and keep working on what it is that you're working on, but you develop this sense of, well, I want to get good at this. I'm tired of people only picking at this because of this. If they're saying this doesn't look this, well, let me fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what I can do better with this. You keep on with that same mantra in your mind, it turns into something. And what it has turned to where now I'm trying to find a balance between accepting the praise, but I'm more so, I'm looking for that, but what do you think about this? Or what could I do better with this? No. Thank you. I appreciate your compliment, but I need to know how I can get better. Because this is good now, but my mind is already on the next project. I've already kind of moved on when I finished
mm-hmm.
anything. I've already moved on to the next wall before I even know what it is.
Staying on the vein of how people receive the
yes.
artwork, you have a very fortunate experience.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in Los Angeles, which is an incredibly cultured and one of the artistic hubs, and then you grew up in Atlanta, yes. which is on the same scale in terms of art and culture. And then you land in Tallahassee, which is, in my opinion, the mecca of everything. But if I am being realistic, Tallahassee may not see itself in the same categories as those first two cities. Mm-hmm. Has this city received you as an artist in a way that you've been pleased with? And I'm not meaning the commissions, because we know that you're well-worked sure. and well-popular. I mean in terms of opportunities and mm-hmm. actually receiving the work for why you made it. Have you been pleased with this community?
Oh, I mean, that's a great question. I would say so.
Very good.
I would say that, and to specify what I mean by that is, at the point of where I was in my life, I moved to Tallahassee late 2019, mm-hmm. Before the world shut down, of course. But I moved to Tallahassee, and at the point of where I was in my career and in my life, it was a lot of it was in shambles. I had not had the proper type of portfolio or even the skill set or even a methodology. I had none of that. So when I was coming here, it was really supposed to be for a break from the busy city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I have a love-hate relationship with Atlanta, and I won't get into that part. But what I will dive into is, and I'm certain a lot of people can resonate with me, when you're in a very, very busy city, it is very hard to refine and work on something and get really good at that something. But it's very, very easy to get okay with a lot of things. You know, jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. I've always felt different about that because, you know, you can be okay with a lot of things but good at nothing. I've always wanted to be good at something. Mm-hmm. But I've also looked at that there's a pattern of when you niche down, it seems to be like more successful people who niche make it a lot quicker or more efficiently. Mm-hmm. They get through. So I wanted to be somebody who's known for doing something, not known for doing a lot of things. And coming to Tallahassee, I would say more so opportunity. Opportunity-wise, because of the lack, the strong lack.
When you say opportunity, do you mean
yes.
Access of opportunity or not as much opportunity?
Access.
Okay.
I say. And I say that because the lack of, and, you know, some people have taken this, you know, out of context, but I'd say this, the lack of really good art, that opens up a lot of doors for when someone really good comes in mm-hmm. and they can really plant roots and grow. You know, I've always tried to, you know, put out and put forth that I separate myself from the common artist. And yes, this is definitely me, you know, putting myself on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. But there's crafting and then there's art. I'm a professional artist. And aside from what I charge, it's more about my art has a utility. You know, my art has a direct purpose. It's not me just doing what I want to do because I'm a rebellion and, you know, I want to put out and spew out a message. Mm-hmm. You know, my art, I want it to be something that is timeless, is something that can, you know, touch the eyes and the hearts of other people from whatever background that they're from. I do believe that I'm doing a pretty decent job at that. And I don't like and I don't want my art to be weaponized or divisive. Mm-hmm. And so I do pretty much kind of cancel myself out of certain kinds of pockets and things like that. But I think it's purposeful.
So my next question is a very specific question.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, public art has, while it is a beautiful thing and we know mm-hmm. it curbs crime and it decorates cities and it adds to the vibe and the yes. je ne sais quoi, as you said.
Yeah.
A lot of people argue, and there's some truth to it, that when you start seeing murals, you start seeing the ever-encroaching thumb of gentrification. Do you feel like you have ever played a part in that? And if so, not a bad or good thing, how does that make you feel as a community player?
Oh, I like that question. I like that question a lot. I've been asked that question from my own people mm-hmm. and others across the
And when
the
you
pond.
Mean your own people, do you mean Black people?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I've been asked that question from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten a lot of ridicule by that as well.
Ridicule for being a muralist?
Well, more so as from the perspective of a race trader.
Oh.
Because of the types of clientele that they see caters to me mm-hmm. versus the others that not so much. So, but what I would say though to that, I would definitely say that I am a participant of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you answer that question,
yes.
do you think that public art is always indicative of gentrification though?
I would say to some degree, not always, okay. but a large part of it.
Okay.
Because there's something about, even if it's not artwork, there's something about fresh paint being applied to a space that just gives a different aura.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be art. But when you do put art, I think because it, from who it comes from, you got to think about the mentality of what comes with that. The psychology of someone is willing to pay for something that's not necessarily beneficial on a technical level,
mm-hmm.
but it's very cosmetic.
Yes, yes.
And only certain people of certain demographics, of certain pocket sizes, would do something like that.
Mm.
That's a luxury. So in a lot of ways, art is a luxury item. So if you think about it, it's not like just getting a car. No, it's a certain kind of car you get.
Mike, I'm going to tell you something. As somebody who has, in closing, I will say, as somebody who has been in this community for a long time and has been joined for the past 6 or 7 years with you in this community, you always have a good take. You always have an honest take, but you always have excellent work. And so as far as luxury items are concerned, you are the Mercedes-Benz. You are the BMW. You are the Josh Johnson of art.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I take that. I receive that.
Thank you at home for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.